You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Let's go to New York City. Talk to our Odyssey Sports sister station, WFAN in New York City. KM to AM is the show. Keith McPherson is our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Keith, always appreciate you making time for us and joining us here in the Sports Bar. We were floored last week when we heard the news that Tom Thibodeau was fired, even though the team did something they hadn't done in 25 years. And now, with each passing day, boy, it sure seems more and more apparent that they didn't really have a plan to replace Tibbs, did they?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. No. James Dolan is the type to come back and say, we don't need a plan. I don't need to see this current plan for any longer go through. It didn't go through. We need headlines. We need change. We need a new voice that can get us over a hump that this guy couldn't get us over, and that we heard he couldn't get the Bulls over and the Timberwolves over. It's in his MO, right? So I feel like Dolan came back and he had those exit meetings with the players, and he had already heard from so many outside people that, hey, this isn't the guy. And what I've been saying about Dolan, and you know, you always got to be careful with what you say about James Dolan in the city, because, you know, might not be able to get back into the Garden, depending on what you say. But I'm like, you know, Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright pointed to how he was preoccupied with the Sphere in Vegas and building that. And that is how Leon Rose and World Wide West and Tom Thibodeau over the last 5 years were able to create this functional Knicks team that had success. And now that that project is done, he's back and he's sitting under the basket. His seats are right under the basket. He wears his Darkwing Duck cap. It's like a Dick Tracy cap. It's like one of those big build hats. Like, I don't know what he thinks he is, but I know he was super disappointed because they didn't get to the finals. And he, for the first time in a long time, was a part of planning for the finals, being favored to get there. And with that disappointment, heads have to roll. You know how it is in business, especially in New York. You don't get it done, somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody's got to be the goat for it. Someone's got to be the scapegoat.
Well, Keith, does Dolan have a point? If it was his decision ultimately, does he have a point? The idea that, okay, maybe there is somebody better out there that can lead this team. We do have other instances. People have pointed to Golden State. They didn't take off until Kerr, got in control. Like, in terms of the next head coach, what do you think that coach should do that maybe Tibbs wasn't doing?
They're going to say that Tibbs played his guys into the ground, ran his guys into the ground, played his guys too many minutes. Someone called into my show with a ridiculous stat about, you know, how many more minutes the Knicks starters played compared to the teams they played, the Pistons and the Celtics and the Pacers in the, you know, in the playoffs. And I forget, but it was a lot. Like, when you add up the minutes, it was something like 8 extra games, like 8 to 10 extra games that these guys had played minutes wise, wear and tear on your body, where you get late in the season and they were healthy this year. They weren't healthy last year. Who's to say they'd be healthy next year doing that same thing? Mikal Bridges spoke out about it. I think we've heard a ton about how Karl-Anthony Towns has gotten Tom Thibodeau fired twice. I think the next coach has to have a deeper bench, which Leon Rose and World Wide West, those guys upstairs, have to get him a deeper bench and a bench that he trusts. That's the thing with Tom Thibodeau. He did not trust those guys on the bench until he had no other choice. So, you know, they got to find a guy that'll play the bench and a guy that can take on New York. This is the hardest market to play in. The Garden itself, they have a ton of security measures and different rules. Like, that's why Jason Kidd, now we're hearing there's mutual interest. It makes sense for Kidd. He's a splashy name. He played for the Knicks. He's coached a bunch of different teams. He's young. He's going to be respected by players. And, of course, if you give him a bench, he's going to play the bench.
Keith, I hear everything that you're saying, but the biggest part about what you're saying that I think holds true with the Knicks, and you know, you could replace Tibbs with Jason Kidd or whoever you want to replace him with, but you still have a guy in Kat who needs to play better defense given his size and given what you would expect out of a guy with that size. You still have Brunson out there who's a killer but also a liability defensively. I mean, you still need to beef up this roster.
Yeah. But you can't say that type of stuff. You know, these guys are local guys, right? Brunson grew up in Jersey for a little bit before going to Illinois. You know, Cat is a Jersey guy. His mom was a Knicks fan. And, you know, Jalen Brunson's dad is on the coaching staff. Yeah. Like you don't put it on the two All-Stars. You don't put it on the players that were out there that played terrible in the elimination game. And both of them don't play enough defense where, like, they're both a liability. You can't say that, though. It's all in the coach. He's got to coach it out of them, right? Yeah. He's got to find a way to get that out of these guys. But I don't think they can. I don't think Jason Kidd can. And what I've been saying is, okay, we all can point and say, now, this was done without a plan. And if you put plan B into place and they don't get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, it's a failure. If they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose, it's a failure. Like, they have to take the next step and go to the finals, because when you fire Tom Thibodeau, you put out a statement that said, we're singularly focused on winning a championship for our fans. Oh, really? The New York Knicks. Now, all of a sudden, you guys are the Yankees? Interesting.
Well, we brought up the Yankees, how, like, they didn't get good until George was actually suspended for a year. So, but at least they already had some wins under their belt there. Keith McPherson, KM to AM, WFAN. You brought up Kidd. I think that would excite a lot of Knicks fans. I'd like to see how that would work. If I'm Dallas, I'm not just saying, all right, yep, go ahead. You know, we're letting you out of your contract. What would that look like, Keith, in terms of a trade, do you think?
I don't know. I don't see why Dallas would do it. You know, and things were going so bad, and then all of a sudden you got some good, right? You trade Luka, and fans are showing up with caskets to American Airlines Arena. Fans are leaving the arena. They took a huge hit doing that. And then somehow Adam Silver and the basketball gods got together and said, let them get the number one pick for this kid, Cooper Flagg, who everyone that knows of him says, yeah, he's going to be the number one pick, a lock, a surefire thing. They've got that guy coming. Why would you want to leave Jason Kidd? The legacy that you have out there in Dallas as a player and a coach who brought them to the finals last year, why would you want to leave? Like, this kid is about to ignite the franchise. And, like, Kyrie will eventually be back, and AD is there, and you have some other pieces. You want to leave for a Knicks job where the bar is get to the finals, or you could get fired in a couple of years? Like, I think he'd be better off to stay in Dallas. But maybe the Dallas Mavericks are that crazy, and Nico is that crazy to just keep going and say, you know what, we need somebody to coach Cooper Flagg, right? This is a whole new era. Jason Kidd was the older era. And, hey, Jason, if you want to go, so be it. And I don't know, the Knicks don't have any picks to give because they gave up all their picks for Mikal Bridges. They're going to have to move some players. I'm not sure exactly who that'll be.
Keith, what about the window of opportunity in the Eastern Conference if you're the New York Knicks, knowing that Boston's going to be probably without Jason Tatum for the majority of next year? They might be down, knowing that, you know, it was Indiana that beat you to get to the finals, but we're kind of seeing Indiana play against OKC very much like they were against the Knicks. Like, you shut down Halliburton and there's not a lot there. What about this window of opportunity? Is it realistic to think that with the talent that they have and maybe a couple of other pieces with the new coach, that it could be the Knicks looking like the best team in the East in 2026?
Yeah, I can't say that. I think whoever coaches this team could win another 50 games next year, right? Like, I've watched them closely, and I think they're going to grow from this experience this year. They're going to be a better group. They stand to get a better bench with some actual legitimate pieces off the bench. But what I'll say is, it's unpredictable. Kenny Atkinson being the head coach of the Cavaliers propelled them to the one seed in the East. I didn't know Tatum was going to go down, so I guess you moved the Celtics out, but don't completely count them out.
Sure.
The Pistons are on the rise. The Pistons are looking at the Knicks saying, we gave them a 6-game series. We beat them in the Garden. Like, we're a couple pieces away. And, you know, you can never count out the rest of the teams in the East, whether it's – I don't know. I can't call it. I just think with the Knicks, though, they're in this 2 to 3 year window. And let's say this is year one or year two, because they had a good team last year. Like, they are rolling the dice. They've seen other teams do it, like Dwayne Casey being fired with the Raptors after them getting to the playoffs consistently but not getting over the hump. And then, boom, it's Nick Nurse and it's Kawhi Leonard. Even the Warriors – You keep hearing their name pop up because Steve Kerr was the coach to take them further. They're rolling the dice here because they don't have a lot of time. And I understand it. No risk it, no biscuit. But I will say that, like, the Knicks have had terrible luck. This could be the beginning of the end as well. This could be the beginning of the demise. And this is an inflection point that we'll look back at for years to come as far as hey, did they make the right hire? Were they able to go forward? I think there's a chance that they may never get further than Tom Thibodeau just took them.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Keith McPherson, WFAN, KM to AM is the show. Which we invite you to check out inside the Odyssey app. Keith, of course, right after this happens real quick, right? Every year we get the finals, we get the draft, we get free agency, we get the meat market, the swapping here. And July 1st, right around the corner, what would you like to see the Knicks do? I'll start. I'll tell you what I don't want to see them do. I'm not interested in Kevin Durant or anything that might be past the prime date there. What do you think the Knicks will do in terms of shopping coming up in July here?
Change that starting five. We started to get a lot of bad numbers about how the starting five played together. And even though they have two all-star starters, they have what they call Wingstop and OG Anunoby, big money guy. And, you know, the Iron Man and Mikal Bridges, like, they were forced to take Josh Hart out of the starting lineup. He shouldn't have been a starter anyway. He should be coming off the bench. Okay, so take him out. He's an undersized player. And then you put Mitchell Robinson in, who was great defensively, but he's half a player because he's got no offensive game. They can hack a Mitch, and we saw him get better, but that's a liability. They need another shooter. They need a legit two guard. They need somebody that can shoot. Obviously, Cat can shoot. OG can throw up some threes. Josh Hart is timid with the threes, Brunson. But I think they need like a scoring offensive threat. And maybe they don't find that. Maybe they make Brunson the number two and then put somebody on the ball, because Brunson seemed to always dribble the air out of the ball and everybody in the world knew it was his shot to take. So maybe they switch something up with their guards, or they get another big, maybe a big that can score, and then they move Cat more to a four. I don't know. They got to play with that starting five. The starting five as it was in the Eastern Conference Finals was not good enough. They've got to move some pieces around with what they have and maybe add somebody that can score and play defense. Not Kevin Durant, though. Not Kevin Durant, not Giannis. I think one piece for that starting five and then maybe two pieces for the bench.
Keith, let's talk a little bit about your Yankees, who find themselves in first place. But when you look at the back half of that lineup, you're like, ooh. And you've got some injury concerns, a couple of surprises on the roster. Is this team for real, or are they benefiting from a down AL East year?
Yeah, I mean, they're for real. Baseball is just going to baseball, and we're in it now. We're in June now. Nobody can say it's still early. You know, we've got enough of a sample size here. And the Yankees, they did beat up on some teams, some lesser teams, and the AL is weak. But the rivalry got reignited this weekend with the Boston Red Sox. And as soon as you step into a series like that, taking your opponent lightly, deciding to take guys out of the lineup for scheduled rest, deciding to leave starters in for longer than they need to be, going to certain guys in the bullpen, and just, you know, the Yankees stick to the script. And that's what pains me about them. I think they have a ton of talent, even with some guys hurt and some guys coming back. But they will die hard on their decisions. Like, they will write a script for how they want to go into the game. And then when they're in the game, it's hard for them to freestyle. It's hard for them to go off script. And that's how you get got, and that's how you give up a million runs in the weekend, and a scrappy Red Sox team with some veterans and some young players and a manager who's always dialed in. He's always locked in for this rivalry. They got. They lost two out of three, and really they could have lost that first game Friday too. The Red Sox beat the Yankees, you know, after that first inning of Friday, the Red Sox won the entire series, and you kind of tip your cap to them. They're not going to be a threat, though. Like, they're going to stub their toe elsewhere when there's not 47,000 fans yelling and screaming in the building. The Yankees do have Aaron Judge, and I really feel like this is the year that they have put enough talent around Judge that when they get him to October, walk him if you want to walk him, but I expect him to show up this year in the postseason for sure.
Keith, I'm a Met fan, and it's the rare thing where, like, okay, you swept an opponent. I'm not really excited. The Rockies may be the worst team we've ever seen, and so the Mets, you know, can't blame them for who's on their schedule. My question is about their pitching, which has been great so far, but some of these guys, Canning, Tyler McGill, Peterson, do you think this is sustainable, or, you know, should the Mets actually, when the trade deadline comes around, see what's out there in terms of a frontline starter?
Yeah, the Rockies are the worst team. Well, they're on pace to be the worst team in history. They're the worst team in the league. They took the first game of that series from the Yankees Memorial Day weekend. The Mets didn't lose to them. And especially being in the National League, don't lose to the worst team. The Mets right now are the best team in the National League. And it's not because of Juan Soto. Pete Alonso has been great. Lindor has been great. But it's because of Jeremy Hefner's pitching lab. I honestly don't believe it. I was on air when they signed Griffin Canning. We laughed it off. A caller called and was frustrated. I forget what other free agent pitcher was still out there that they wanted them to sign. And they signed Griffin Canning for like $4 million. And he's been great. David Peterson's been great. Kodai Senga, now they're in the six-man rotation. Senga needs a little extra rest. He's been great. I think, you know, with Sean Manaea coming back and Frankie Montas, they will have the luxury of deciding whether they want to add another starter or just beef up the bullpen. The bullpen's been good, too. So I give credit to David Stearns as well. He's got an eye for this type of stuff. He can spot these guys and bring them in. Like Paul Blackburn against the Dodgers. I like this guy's first outing. He's got to face the Dodgers, and the Dodgers were coming off of, you know, the top four in their lineup going 0-4 against the Yankees. I thought he was going to get smacked around. These guys have a plan. These guys, they throw the pitches they want to throw, and they've been great for the Mets. And, you know, you play who you play, but the Mets dominated them, didn't lose a game to them, and you got to feel good about that.
Keith, forgive us because we're in Western New York and we don't have Major League Baseball like you do in the city with the Mets and with the Yankees.
Toronto Blue Jays.
Close, but not quite on our radar.
Well, we had them for a couple
summers. Yeah. I'm just curious because we're just lapping up every bit of offseason news we can get our hands on with the NFL. And I know in the city there's probably not a lot of chatter around what the Jets and Giants off seasons have looked like, but we do have news here in the last few days where it's like, ooh, week one is going to be interesting when you have Justin Fields going up against the Jets' old quarterback and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. First time ever teams have swapped quarterbacks and they'll meet the first week out of the season. I was saying, how do they flex that to Sunday Night Football? That can't be 1 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. Huh. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is done. And I think we saw some of that last year, and I think we're really going to see more of that this year. Now, he's going to be in a much better coach situation. They're going to have to coach and scheme and plan to get the most out of Aaron Rodgers, get the ball out of his hand, and he's got to buy in. But as far as the Jets are concerned, the biggest thing I keep saying about the Jets is there's no news. There's no headlines. There's no LOL Jets. There's nothing about Woody Johnson. There's nothing that we can report on. They have been very tight-lipped over there. It seems like they're all business. I'm like, wow, what a welcome change. I think there was a report that Aaron Glenn added a Bible study for the players. And I'm like, this is a headline? I'm like, this is not a Jets headline. Usually there's something going wrong, a player doing something laughable coming out of there. They are very buttoned up, and they're trying to be a real adult franchise, a real NFL organization.
Did the Giants get it right bringing back the GM and the head coach, Keith? Because it's certainly a job anybody would want going in there. But to me, I was a little surprised they brought back Dable and Shane.
I'm going to say no, because I think they're still going to get smoked this year. I think they win 5 games max. And I don't know which ones they're going to steal because they have the toughest strength of schedule. They have to face teams with quarterbacks and offenses and defenses and coaches that have been in the playoffs, that have been doing this, that don't need to be put together. They are still very much putting the pieces of the puzzle together. I give them credit for having a masterful draft. I felt like they won night one, getting Abdul Carter, not reaching for Shedeur Sanders, but then knowing that Jackson Dart was the guy they had their eye on and not letting someone else steal him, trading back in and saying, this is the guy we want. They got the quarterback of the future. They've got a edge rusher that I think is going to make an impact this year, but they've got Russell Wilson at quarterback. He's another guy that I think is done. I think this has got to be his last year or next to last year. I just think the game is too fast. These quarterbacks are too athletic, too smart. You know, this league changes so quickly. There's a ton of film on Aaron Rodgers. There's a ton of film on Russell Wilson. Their old tricks don't work anymore. But here's what I'll say about, you know, Tom Thibodeau was fired, right? Buck Showalter got fired in 2022 after, you know, leading a Mets team, or 2023, but after, like, you know, leading a Mets team back to the postseason and winning a bunch of games, like, for those guys to survive the season they just had, it's incredible. But I just think it was the wrong decision, because ultimately you're going to have another bad year And then what are you going to do? Are you going to change your plan? Are they going to be forced to play Jackson Dart at some point this season? Jameis Winston is there as well. Tommy DeVito is still around. But, like, their plan is that we have enough quarterbacks in this room that this young kid can develop. But you know what? The fans are going to get loud. And when you're, you know, you're 3-10, they're going to want to see this kid. So let's see. Let's see. This regime is safe, though, because, you know, Mara doesn't want to be the guy overreacting like Dolan. He said he's going to give these guys time. They have a 5-year contract. He's seen out that 5-year contract.
Keith, tell everybody about KM to AM, listening in the free-to-download Odyssey app and the work that you're doing at WFAN there in the city.
Yeah, my name is Keith McPherson. There's the KM. My show goes every night from the end of the night into the morning hours, so that's where we get KM to AM. Tonight is the full 5-hour vehicle because the Yankees are off. I get 7 p.m. to 12. I take as many calls as I can. I talk to any and everybody about everything possible. And, you know, I don't have any stick. I don't have any games to play. I don't have any gimmicks. But I think we get real sports conversation between real fans. And then we have some real moments as well. And I'm blessed. A lot of people have been rocking with me over the years. You guys have reached out to have me on your show. So clearly I'm doing something right as I figure it out, being a young guy in the game.
Yeah, well, Keith, keep up the great work. Let's do this again sometime. And we couldn't figure it out, the Knicks here, so appreciate your insight on what they were thinking.
They can't figure it out. They're scrambling over there. I'm waiting for their press conference. That's another thing. They get to hide. The rest of us don't get to hide from the mics. They never have to get in front of mics.
That's right. That's right. We'll be watching intently to see what exactly transpires there out of the Garden. Keith, appreciate your time as always, bud.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You got it. Keith McPherson, you can hear him on WFAN in New York City, the free-to-download Odyssey app, your best vehicle to do so.
He's right about Dolan. He is the most vindictive owner. Before we became familiar with facial recognition, this is going back like 5 years, he had that technology installed at MSG to bar anyone who sued him. So if you were a lawyer that was bringing litigation against his company, you were not allowed in the Garden.
Oh, just a petty, petty, small man.
Oh my God.
With billions of dollars and all this wealth and power. And he just wields it for things like that.
This guy puts himself on tour with his guitar.
Yeah.
Why? Because I have all the money. Doesn't matter if people are paying to see him or not. It's my tour.
Yeah.
The clown.
Yeah, he is. And I love that. The idea that the Knicks got good because he was preoccupied building the Sphere in Las Vegas. I'm like, yeah, that checks out. That timeline actually checks out. And now you take this risk. And it might work out for him. But I still think you need to add a little bit more to that roster, regardless of who your next coach is.
But I think Keith is right. Like, the idea that you're going to get Jason Kidd in Dallas, who, hey, they do have Cooper. Like, all of a sudden, you'll be like, oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Be crazy if Dallas could let go of Kidd. Just be, you know, crazy. But we'll monitor. We'll see. It becomes clear with each passing day that when they fired Tom Thibodeau, they really did not have a plan. We believed, hey, if you did this, you've been talking to somebody. You
have an idea.
You've got an idea of what you want to do. Nope. No idea. We're going to just shoot from the head.
That was just emotional. Yeah. Oh, wait a second. No, we did our player exit interviews, and it came up a few times about the minutes, so that's a fireable offense.
Sure. Really appreciate Keith stopping by. We'll get that conversation for you on demand wherever you get your podcast. You can find the Sports Bar. Search us out, like and subscribe while you're there. And if you missed any part of the show, our YouTube channel is also available for you at The Fan Rochester. We encourage you to like and subscribe, comment there. We're checking that out and putting a little wind in our sails there with the YouTube channel. Happy Hour is on the way next.
Yeah, let's talk about Bills minicamp because Mike Catalana made a prediction for tomorrow. What do you think is going to happen with James Cook? Are we ready for this? 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.